Mine's Tim. I'm an alcoholic, date of sobriety, 24th of July, 1993. Thank you for asking me to share, Harry. The topic I'm going to talk about, well, the problem, before we get to the topic, the problem is becoming preoccupied with work and success, and preoccupied in the sense of mentally concerned with things like how well I think I'm doing, how well others think I'm doing, how much I'm earning, how much work I produce, how much I'm earning for the work I produce, what the productivity is, how much I'm earning per hour, how much I'm earning compared to other people, how long I spend on work, risks to my income stream, how to mitigate those risks. Now, a tiny amount of that is necessary because I run a business, so those are valid parameters to consider. They're not themselves idle, but my problem is that I can become more concerned with those than is strictly necessary for the purposes of doing my job. And that concern is very destructive, firstly, because it attacks my state of mind, and secondly, because it itself represents a separation from God, by virtue of the fact is concern with myself. Anything that consists in a concern for myself is itself a separation from God, and that's problematic as an alcoholic because the connection with God, serving God, is the answer to my alcoholism. If I'm self-directed, I will direct myself one day to having a drink. Therefore, I must be not self-directed. I must be God-directed. What is certainly the case as well, this is part of step one, I suppose, that I can't think my way out of this. I can't simply apply reason and common sense to say, well, tush, I shouldn't be thinking about any of that. That's rubbish. It doesn't work. I can't apply an intellectual solution to something that is essentially a spiritual problem. The topic is really how to apply the program to these concerns, and it's really to the problem of pride as it manifests in this area of my life, and the solution is humility. There's a quotation here from the 12 and 12. It says, "In all of these strivings, so many of them well-intentioned, our crippling handicap had been our lack of humility. We had lacked the perspective to see that character building and spiritual values had to come first, and that material satisfactions were not the purpose of living. Quite characteristically, we'd gone all out in confusing the ends with the means. Instead of regarding the satisfaction of our material desires as the means by which we could live and function as human beings, we had taken these satisfactions to be the final end and aim of life." And just in case anyone thinks that these ideas that Bill came up with in the 12 and 12 are silly little ideas belonging only in some dark corner of AA, which Bill himself devised, it's not the case at all. In the and this is to take one of a thousand examples, but this happened to be a very good example I came across yesterday from the 1559 Book of Common Prayer, which is the prayer book of the Church of England, where in the baptism service, the minister says, "Do you forsake the devil?" And you say, "Yes, I forsake the devil," or "the devil and all his works. Do you forsake the vain pomp and glory of this world and all of the covetous desires the same?" Answer, "Yes, I forsake them." It's saying the same thing. That what is the devil here? The devil is this insistent voice that says, you need to make something of yourself in the world. You need to be someone. You don't want to be that hole in the donut. The devil is that voice. And all his works, all of the things which flow from that, from this desire to become someone in the world, to separate myself, to have an identity, to be viewed by other people, to have a career. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do hard work, but to have a career, as far as I'm concerned, is about self-aggrandizement. That's the vain pomp. That's the glory of the world. The glory of the world is looking good in other people's eyes and then being able to look on myself well because I think I look good in other people's eyes. The vain pomp. Pomp is in the chapter. We agnostics as well, which li links in very beautifully with that. And all the covetous desires, all the things that I want, as soon as I say I want, I'm in the domain of covetous desires. Someone was asked, a friend of mine was asked in a job interview yesterday, what motivates you? Is it sort of money, or is it career success, or is it career advancement, and all of those things? And she said, none of those. And I thought that was a very, very good answer. That the it's a question of humility coming first. What this means is, I did not create myself. I used to complain as a child, I didn't ask to be born. And someone once pointed out, that's absolutely right, you didn't. And that's a very good insight. It means I'm not here for myself. If I'm here for myself, what does that make me? Being here for myself is at the root of my alcoholism. What does my alcoholism say? So I want to feel good right now. How I feel is the most important thing in my life, so I will do whatever I need to do to feel the way I think I ought to feel right now. So I'm going to have a drink because that will make me feel good right now. I'm going to have a drug that will make me feel good right now. I'm going to have a pill that will make me feel good right now. I don't care about making something important of my life for God's sake. I just care about how I feel. That's the devil in all his works. That's the vain pomp. That's the glory of this world. That's the covetous desire. Humility says, I'm not here for me. If I'm not here for me, what am I here for? Who am I here for? And humility, that this character building, my job at work is to use my time in the office to demonstrate the principles of the program. Patience, tolerance, diligence, being fully self-supporting through my own contributions, minding my own business, being, as it says in the 12 and 12, a worker amongst workers. When I get the spiritual side of this sorted out, the mental side takes care of itself. I've had a very, very calm and peaceful day mentally because I've been simply getting on with what is in front of me with no concern for myself. One of the things I'm doing at the moment, the first thing in the morning, in order to put my head on straight, is to first of all adopt a position of humility, which is I don't know anything. I don't think, I don't need to think anything. I don't need to work anything out. Say to God, I'm here to do your will today. That is it. And I've got some very specific prayers. So, first of all, I have faith in God's providence and direction. Secondly, I have hope in a good future if I follow God's direction. And thirdly, I'm here to do God's will, which is the closest I can get to loving God. I can't conjure the sentiment, but to place oneself at God's disposal, to lay, which is really laying one's life down for God, is the closest, is a very close approximation to loving God. I do that by being of service to others. And what comes of that in my work life is none of my business. It is irrelevant to me. It is God's business. What value anything in my life has, it is none of mine. My only question every morning is, what should I fill the day with? And when I adopt that approach and stick only to that, I have an incredibly peaceful time. And what is made of my life, I don't care. That's up to God. That's 10 minutes. Thank you for listening.